you just pray for us. We really don't know what to say or do. The Lord gave us a little thought just a few minutes ago, and sort of goes along with how things been going this morning. And but we preached the brotherhood this morning at 8 o'clock, and it's just been a good morning for me so far. So, but you just pray out of the depths of your heart, out of the book of 2 Samuel, chapter 6, very familiar scriptures, and you just pray for us. Second Samuel chapter 6, and we'll begin in the very first verse. Like I said, very familiar scriptures, and all of ought to be very familiar scripture to all of us this morning. The Bible said, and again, David gathered together all the chosen men of Israel, 30,000. And David arose and went with all the people that were with him from Baal of Judea, to bring up from thence the ark of God, whose name is called by the name of the Lord of hosts, that dwelleth between the cherubim. And they set the ark of God upon a new cart, and brought it out of the house of Obadiah, and that was in Gibeah, and Uzzah and Ahoh, the son of Ebadiah, drove the new cart. And they brought it out of the house of Obadiah, which was at Gibeah, accompanying the ark of God, and Ahio went before the ark, and David and all the house of Israel played before the Lord in all manner of instruments, made of fir wood, even of harps and of palstries and timbrels and all the cornets and on the cymbals. And when they came to Nacor's threshing floor, Uzzah put forth his hand to the ark of God and took hold of it, for the ox shook it, and the anger of the Lord was kindled against Uzzah, and God smote him there for his error, and there he died by the ark of God. Would you bow your heads and pray with us? Heavenly gracious Father, for Lord, we come to you, Lord, once again, by our unworthy head, Lord, just as humble as we know how. Lord, thank you, Lord, for this opportunity, God, that we might be able to be here this morning. But God, we thank you, Lord, for what we felt so far this morning. As the Spirit of God passed through, touching from breast to breast. But God, we ask you, Lord, as it falls in our lot, and that God, we just might be able to make the crossing with ease. And Lord, do that you have us to do. Lord, we ask you, Lord, you'll give us the words that God, we all stand in need of this morning. God, whatever it might be, peace within our hearts, joy down in our soul. God, give us strength, Lord, just to be able to carry on, Lord, out in this old sinful world. But God, we ask you, Lord, that you'll give us a following heart, that God, we might be able to follow you each and every day. But God, we ask you, Lord, that thy will be done here in this service and not ours. But God, we don't want to do anything, Lord, to bring reproach upon you or the church. But God, we just want to do that that you're pleasing with. But God, we pray most of all from the depths of our heart. Lord, if they might be one that's sitting among us that's lost, and undone, that God, you'll touch their hearts now in a mighty way. And God, all those that are backslidden and gone cold on you, Lord, wherever they might be at this morning, Father, I pray, Lord, you'll speak unto their hearts too. But God, we ask you, Lord, you'll continue to bless this church as a whole and all that she does. That God, she just might be able to be a light, Lord, out here in this lost and dying world. Lord, when it's all said and done with here this morning, Father, I pray, Lord, we can all leave out of here saying it's been good to be in God's house. And Lord, when all things are accomplished and finished, I will bow and worthy head and praise you. I give you honor and glory for everything you do. And for us in Jesus, lovely name we pray. Amen. Amen. You might be seated this morning, but I thought about these scriptures God laid on our heart. How the Bible says in verse number 2, it may be correct to reading of the word of God, but the Bible said, and David rose and went all with the people that were with him from Baal of Judea to bring up from thence the ark of God. Brother, you know why? Because it wasn't in his possession at that time. And brother, he wanted to go get it. So I thought about this thought God gave me. It's just taking back what rightfully is ours. Brother, this morning, the world is taking so much away from me and you as being Christian and God's people. Brother, you can look at the world today and see where she's at and what shape she's in. But brother, it just seems like no matter what, they want to take a little more and a little more away from God's people. and away from God's house. They want to discredit everything God has put in motion that he's created. The Bible said that he created all things, and without him nothing was created. So it all belongs to him anyway today. But it just seems like the world thinks it can take it away from us. But brother, we need to get back to a point in our lives where we can go and take it back, because it's rightfully ours today. Because we're heirs to the throne. We're sons of God. When God called us and saved us, brother, that was his, was given unto me and you. Brother, ain't you glad today that we possess some things that, brother, we got when God saved us? Brother, our lives and our testimony, brother, was given unto us by God. Brother, our lives, brother, when we was born into this world, as I told them this morning in brotherhood, brother, we just wasn't born for our own pleasure. No, sir. We was born to serve him today, and to live for him, and to walk for him. Brother, our lives that God has given us, it just seems like the devil is taking it more and more away. It just seems like that God's people that once was on fire for God, it just seems like the devil has got a hold of them and pulled them back out in the world. But brother, we need to get to a point in our lives where we can take it back today. Take it back. What they took from us, our lives, brother, that God has given us. I know when I was born to my mother and my father, brother, I had a life of dependence, so to speak. Brother, that's where I was raised up at, with my mama and my daddy. But you know what? That's not the life I'm talking about that the world's trying to take away from us. The life that I'm talking about is the life where it says that we pass from death unto life, and we love our brethren. That's the life that the devil don't want us to have. That's the life the world wants to keep me and you away from. But brother, God gave us that life for a reason, and that's to live for him today, because he gave his life that we might have life and have it more abundantly. So we need to take back our lives that the devil is trying to take away today. Take him back. That belongs unto me and you. You look out here in this world, and you see how many kids and teenagers, you see how many adults, brother, has turned and gone back out into the world. You know what? We don't give the devil enough credit. We think that he ain't got power, but he does today. You know what? Even the devil knows the scripture and the word of God, but he also knows my life, and he knows your life, and he knows where we're weak and vulnerable at. He knows where to come up and attack us at. He might not come into my life like he comes into yours, but you know what? He ain't no respecter person neither. He'll take anybody and everybody, and that's what he's trying to do. But God gave us this life. It's our life. And we need to take it back today. I need to take it back from me. You read about the prodigal son. I know you know the scripture. But the Bible said that prodigal son, he had everything that he needed right there at the father's house. It didn't matter what he needed. He had it right there at his fingertips, so to speak. But the Bible said that he come one day and he said, "Daddy, I'm old enough to live on my own," he said, "but I need my inheritance so I can go out and start my own life, so to speak." But the Bible said that he got what he asked for, but he went out to there in a foreign country, and the Bible said that he walked away with everything in the palm of his hand. But when he got down there in that foreign country, everything that he had, the world stripped it away from him. There he found himself over there in a hog pen one day. And the Bible said he would have starved to death if it hadn't have been for the husk on the corn. Yes, sir. But you know what? I believe with all my heart, brother, he realized that he had made a mistake. I believe with all my heart he realized that he was led the wrong way by the wrong one. But you know what? He didn't sit there and not do nothing about it. And the Bible said that he came to his senses and realized, well, praise the Lord, that he realized that he had it made over at his father's house. I don't know about y'all today, but I done come too far to turn back and go out in this world. Brother, I done lost sight of a whole lot of things here on this side because I got my sight on the other side. And brother, I don't want the devil to take nothing else away from my life because I know the Father has it all today. I know he has it all. And the Bible said he came to his senses. And he said, I'll know what I'll do. He said, I'll rise. And he said, I'll go back to my father. And he said, I'll ask my father to forgive me of my sin. That I'm no more worthy to be called his son. He said, I ain't worthy of that. But you know what? When he rose to his senses and he got out of that hog pen, you know what? This morning, God saved me and you from the hog pen. The Bible said he pulled us up out of the miry clay. And the Bible said that he stood upon a rock and established our glory. Yes, sir, he gave us life when he pulled us up out of that hog pen. We might have thought that we was living. But brother, we wasn't living until God pulled us up out of the mud. And brother, gave us something to live for today. He gave us something to live for. Here he was. I rehearsed in what he was going to tell his father. But the Bible said that when he turned that last corner, atop the last hill, so to speak, there he was. Who was it, preacher? There was the father standing out there with outstretched arms. I believe you already know that it'll be coming back sooner or later. And you know what? When the son got to him, he began to try to tell his daddy, but the daddy didn't want to hear none of it. He just reached out and grabbed him, held on to him and gave him a kiss, and said, son, don't worry about it. You was once gone, but now you're back home. Really, I don't know about you today, but I'm glad that God gave me that life. Brother, I'm glad that I know that I got a loving father. That's a forgiving father. I know we all gonna fail and make mistakes, but I can assure you he's still standing with outstretched arms because he loves us today. Taking back that which we've lost. We need to take it back today. Our lives that the devil is trying to snatch out from under. I believe with all my heart, it was because of the devil that the prodigal son wound up in the hog pen. But you know what? I also believe that God had a plan already before the devil did anyway. I believe God already knew what was going to happen. And you know what? A lot of times we have to be stripped of things before we can realize how good we had it back at home. You ever heard that old saying? You don't never miss the well until it runs dry. We might fuss and complain about it, but when she runs dry and there ain't no more water, I'd rather we begin to miss it then. I'd rather ask the same way. We might fuss and grumble a little bit about what's going on over around God's house, but brother, I can assure you when it's gone, you're going to miss it tonight. Yes, sir. And brother, the devil wouldn't like it no more. I'd reach out and take your life today. Spiritual life. He wants to take your spiritual life away from you so you won't have nothing. But you know what? Here David was. I believe he said, look, boy, we need to go over there and get that which is ours. The Ark of the Covenant is ours. God gave it to us. But here it is. We ain't got it. So we need to rise up and go get it. You know what? Today, you might know somebody that the devil has got a hold on. You might know somebody that the devil has pulled back out in this world. It might not be you, but you know what? Brother, we ought to have enough prayer in us. We ought to have enough courage in us to get up and come and ask God to rescue them. Ask God to turn them and get them back where they need to be at. Because you know why? It might be you next that the devil reaches out and grab today. You know what? God gave us that life. It's our life. And brother, we shouldn't let the devil take it away. No, sir, we shouldn't give place to him. The Bible says, be not ignorant of his devices. We know what he's going to do. We know he's going to try to take our spiritual life away from us. So you know what? I know a lot of us, God has called us in different things to do different things. We all can't be deacons and preachers. We all can't be song leaders. But you know what? God has called you for a purpose. And that's yours, and that's your life that God has called you for. But you don't take it for granted today. The devil is sitting there watching, and he wants to take that life away from you. But you know what? When you got God on your side, who can be against you? Don't let the devil take that spiritual life away from you, brother, because God is for you today. He's for you. We own it. We possess it. It's ours. The world don't have no reason for it. It's not theirs. It's ours. God has given it to us. Our spiritual life. But you know what else? I believe we need to take back. We need to take back our testimony that God has given me and you. Brother, I didn't have no testimony when I was out living for the devil. No, sir. But you know what? I didn't have no consultation and no problems neither as long as I was living for the devil. But when God saved me, brother, they upset the devil. Yes, sir. But you know what? Ever since he saved me, brother, he's always been there to try to cause trouble. Brother, he's a liar and a father of it, and he's an accuser of the brethren. That's what the Bible says. And so he's always going to be around to try to cause trouble for me and you. And brother, I've seen and I've heard so many people, brother, on their testimony, it just seemed like it's just vanished away. Brother, I care too much about what God has done for me. Brother, I care too much about what God has given me. And it's my testimony. It ain't nobody else's tonight. Brother, we all got one if you've been saved. And we shouldn't let the devil take it away today. How they take it away? Well, first of all, when the devil slips in and he wants to take it away, it's when me and you get relaxed and we think, well, nobody wants to hear our testimony. So therefore, we don't say nothing about it. And you know what? The devil likes that. That's what he wants. He don't want you to share your testimony. He wants you to quit. Keep quiet right where you at. Brother, that's why over in the book of Psalms, it said that they can't sing no new song, that they hung their harps up down in the willow tree. country because they're in a strange land. Brother, I ain't in no strange land, and I ain't going to hang my harp up neither. In other words, brother, I'm in a good land that God has planted me in. And brother, I got a song. I got a testimony. And brother, when God impresses me, I'm going to tell it today. I'm going to tell it because it's mine. It's what God has done for me. It's where he's brought me from. And brother, I can see where I was once at out of where I'm at now. And you know what? I can say, well, praise the Lord that I didn't wind up in the graveyard and I didn't wind up in prison. Brother, that's part of my testimony, what God has done for me. And brother, it might be a help to somebody else. And I look at it like this. My testimony, I can be a help to somebody that might be going through what I went through. I see your testimony might be different. All of them are different today. Brother, that's the good thing about it, because you have been somewhere that somebody else is going through, and your testimony can be a help to others. But brother, if the devil would have it his way, brother, we wouldn't care a thing about our testimony, and brother, we wouldn't help nobody. But brother, I'm glad to know today that I realize that the devil's trying to take it away, and I ain't going to stand for it today. I ain't gonna stand for it. I've heard people say, Brother Jeff, about my preaching, I've toned it down a lot. I really have. But I've heard them tell me before, look, you need to slack up on all that. I told him, I said, well, why should I slack up? The devil ain't slacked up not one bit. He's still out there running wild. So why should God's people tone it down and slack up? That's all the devil wants us to do to start with. It's just to slack up. Brother, we need to take back what's rightfully ours. We don't need to let the devil have it no more. No, sir. Brother, God has been so good to me and you. And we don't need to sit quiet and silent no more. God has given me and you a testimony. And brother, we ought to be proud of it. You might not think it's pretty, but in God's eyes it's beautiful, because he saved you. And brother, he brought you up out of the miry clay. And brother, he's given you a testimony tonight. Giving you a testimony. You know what? I've heard this a lot of times. People say, well, they just get tired of listening to me. They just get tired of me telling my testimony. You know what? That's when you start believing the devil. That's what he wants you to do, believe it. You know what? I've heard a lot of times people get up to tell their testimony, and boy, they'll get so excited, and they'll get what they, I like to call, can't help it. They'll get all beside themselves. Sometimes they'll go to shouting and hooting and hollering. Sometimes they'll go to crying. Brother, you know why? Because they know it's theirs, and God has given it to them. They know where they was once at and where they at now. But it don't stop there. And they know where they headed to. And brother, that brings excitement and joy and down in our heart, knowing that we got a testimony tonight. If you ain't got no testimony, it means you ain't never been saved. I'm glad that I got a testimony. I'm glad to know that I have been saved. Brother, I'm glad. It might not be the prettiest thing, my testimony. A lot of people might not think that it's the grandest thing, but I do, because it's mine. I'm kind of biased, kind of partially, so to speak, just like with my wife and my kids. A lot of people might not like them. They might not think she's pretty. A lot of people might not like my kids, but they're mine. God gave them to me. And brother, I think that they're everything. In my eyes, they're beautiful, because I'm biased, I'm partial. And brother, it's the same way with my testimony tonight. Brother, I'm partial to it. Because it's mine and God gave it today. It's mine. And you know what? We shouldn't ever let the devil have control of it. No, sir. Look at what he's got control of out here in this world now. Like Brother Jeff said, we need revival. But it don't start at the White House. It starts at the church house. It starts with me and you. And, brother, I believe if we'll get revived, our testimony will be fresh as it ever was since the Lord saved us that day. Brother, we'll have joy and excitement down in our heart because of what God had done for us. You know what? I heard people say, well, I ain't got that kind of testimony. I never did do anything bad or drink or nothing like that. I don't have a testimony to compare with everybody else. You want to know something? That's the lie of the smokestacks of hell. Yes, sir. You might have not have never done no drugs or alcohol or anything like that. But I want to tell you something. That mercy and grace that brought me in is the same mercy and grace that kept you from going out today. And brother, we all got a testimony, and we ought to be pleased with it today. Lord, be pleased with it. You need to take back what's rightfully ours. Our lives that God has given. Our testimony that God has given us. Enoch, all he had was a testimony. Didn't say nothing else about his riches that he had. Didn't talk about no fine home. Didn't talk about no cattle that he owned or animals that he owned or any servant. Didn't talk about none of that. The only thing that it said, that he had a testimony that was pleasing unto the Lord. You know what? Today, that's what I want. I want my testimony pleasing unto God. But we can't do that if we allow the devil to reach out and take it away from us. But brother, we need to take back what we rightfully are today, our lives and our testimony today. Amen. Need to take it all back, Brother Jeff. You know what? David said, look, we possess something, but it's not in our possession. He said, we own something. God gave it to him, but it's not here. He said, we got to go back and get it and bring it back. And you know the scripture, how he made a new cart and done all this and that, and how he got over there. And the Bible said he put it on that cart. The Ark of the Covenant should never be put on anything new. Why? Because there's a certain way that it should be toted. But David said, I made something new for him. You know what? This morning, there ain't nothing new as far as our testimony in our lives. God gave it to us, and we shouldn't worry about having something new and exciting. It ought to be exciting enough to know that God saved you. And you ain't going to hell. You know what? Here it was that the ox stumbled and old Uzzah reached out to grab a hold of it, and God smote him, killed him right there. Why? Because it wasn't supposed to be touched by nobody but the Levites. And it had rings on it that you put staves through it, and it was to be toted on your shoulders, not on no cart. It was to be toted by certain people. But you know what? Here it was. David was, at least he was doing, was trying, so to speak. Least he was doing was trying to go get that was supposed to be rightfully theirs. But you know what? A lot of people out here in this world, that they're not even trying no more. A lot of people feel like that they've been whooped and beat down and beat up, that what's the sense of even trying anymore? But you know what? I've felt that way before, Brother Jeff. I've been there. I've been a pastor and a preacher, and I've been there, and I've seen what people are talking about. I felt like a lot of times that I just want to give up. I've been beat down and beat up. But you know what? But I'm like the prodigal son. I've come to my senses. Yeah. Yeah. I ain't going to waller in the hog pen no longer than I have to.
Yeah, that's right.
I ain't going to stay there no longer than I have to.
Amen.
God did give me a little sense.
God bless
it. And I like it when I come to my senses and realize that it's not about me no way.
Yeah, right.
It's all about him and the life that we live for him. But you know what? We're going to get beat up. We're going to get beat down. But we can't give in and let the devil have place and take away our spiritual lives, take away our testimony. that we've been working on for all these years. See, I've been working on mine since 1993 when the Lord saved me. That's how long I've been working on my testimony. But you know what? The devil wants to slip in and cause us to do one thing, and all that we've worked on, lose it all. See, people look at our lives and they look at our testimony. And when they see what God has done for us, you ever heard that old saying that you can lead a horse to water, but you can't make him drink? But you can. You lead him down out of the water and you take you a handful of salt and you feed it to him, eventually he's going to want to drink the water. We're the salt of the earth, what the Bible says. See, we can't make nobody live right or do right, but we can feed them a handful of salt that they'll want what we got. So that's why it's important that we don't give place to the devil and allow him to strip us of our spiritual lives and allow him to take away our testimony. But you know what else? And I'll bring my march to a close. You know what else we need to take back from him? We need to take back our spiritual things over at the house of God. What? Preaching. Old-fashioned singing. Old-fashioned fellowship.
That's right. Listen,
need to take all that back. But you know what? I've heard a lot of times in my life since I've been preaching and pastoring that my style and Brother Jeff's style, the way he preaches, is almost extinct. It's a dying breed, so to speak, the old-fashioned way. And I've heard people say, oh, the world's changing. You need to change with it. You need to get up to date. You need to get in the clique so the church will grow and you can get kids in the church and it'll grow and prosperous and bloom. But you know what today? I've come to realize if we're going to get them in, it's going to be the right way. It ain't going to be no other way. Because if we get them in any other way, then the one down the road can get them out another way. But if you allow the Lord to bring them in, see, you don't never want to build no church. You always want to grow one. Because when you grow it, it's just like planting a garden. When you go out there and you work and labor and you know whatever row is, then eventually you're going to start seeing it pop up out of the ground and eventually it's going to bring forth fruit. And you know what it is. You know why? Because you growed it. Same way with the church. So we need to take back our spiritual things over to the house of God. Amen. Preachers need to start preaching instead of just sidestepping, so to speak. A lot of people don't like that, Brother Jill. But you know what? God ain't changed, so why should we? The Word hadn't changed, so why should we change? What He said was wrong back in Adam and Eve's day is still wrong in our day. So why should we change? Because the devil is out there to steal away what we have. And you know, I thought about this, and you can be thinking of a verse of a song. You remember Samson? The Bible said he was a powerful man. I don't think he was no great big muscle-bound guy. I think he might have been just a little old ruddy boy, somebody like me, just somebody small in stature, not a big person. That's just my own personal opinion. Why? Because if he was a great big man and had great big muscles, then people would have thought, well, he can do all that because he's physically strong. But all that he done, I believe when people seen in his life that he couldn't do that by himself, that he had to have somebody on his side. And the Bible said that one day over there, a lion come out, and he just rent that thing apart. Went on about his business, come back by there and looked, and honey was there. He reached out and got that honey and ate of it and took it to his mother and his father and didn't tell them what had happened, and they ate of it. But then it goes on to say this, that all of a sudden the Philistines come up on him. The Bible said the Spirit of the Lord came on Samson and said at that time in his life that he looked over there and he seen the jawbone of an ass and reached down there and got that jawbone, and the Bible says heaps upon heaps that he slew 1,000 men with that jawbone of ass. But you know what Samson done next with that jawbone? That had worked for him, that he had victory through, he took and throwed it to the side. A lot of people in the world today, that's been working, they want to cast it to the side. The preaching that has been working, they want to cast it to the side so they can get up to date and get modern so everybody else can understand it. We had a seminar one time at where I work at, and it was on keeping people's attention span. And I thought, well, you know what, I might be able to apply some of this to pastoring at the church. And it said that if you ever distraught your voice, that automatically people lose you and cut you off. I thought, boy, I'm in trouble. Because that's all we do is holler and spit and snort. So ain't nobody going to pay no attention. But you know what? I struggle with that even though it was somebody else that said it. The devil got in there and he said, you see what I've been telling you all these times? You want to get up and act like that and ain't nobody paying no attention to you. You ought to listen to what that man had to say. You ought to change. You'll change, the church will change with you. And you'll be able to grow leaps and bounds. But you know what? Lord finally come to me and said, what are you going to do? You going to throw that jawbone away like Samson did? That has been working for you all this time. You going to throw her away? I said, well, praise the Lord. Samson throwed that thing away, then all of a sudden, he said, Lord, you brought me this great victory, but now I'm on a thirst to death. But God had a plan. God ain't going to never put you nowhere without a plan. Amen. Now, the devil might stick you somewhere, and you might think, Lord, I'm here all by myself. And if you follow him, you will be all by yourself. But God had a plan for Samson. When he turned and looked at that he just got a victory through, there was water because God had hauled out a spot in that jawbone, and there was water coming out of it. That he had held in his hand and got a victory through it, he also was able to quench the thirst. You see how all this works and ties together? Yeah. That word of God, it'll cause me and you to have victory in our life. Right. But when we get spiritually thirsty, that we use to get victory, we can also get a drink. Amen. So why should we throw something away that's been working all these years? So I want to ask you this morning as they get a verse of a song. Are you ready to take back that is rightfully yours? That the devil has tried to take it away from you. You say, preacher, I ain't lost nothing. Well, I hope you hadn't. But I assure you, it might be before you get outside that the devil attacks you and your family. And tries to take that away from you. And tries to make you feel like that you're not a blessing. Even go as far to try to make you feel like that you ain't never been saved. That's happened. And it'll continue to happen. As long as we keep continuing to give place to the devil. It's just like revivals. A lot of times we go through revivals, and I say this with all respect. A lot of times we go through revivals, and it's good. The church gets revived. A lot of times we go all week long, and we're no more different than what we was before we ever started. Why? Because we've given place to the devil, and we've allowed him to come in and cause me and you to not get a blessing. So your testimony and your life will, and it is, a blessing to somebody else. Whether you want to believe it or not, that you've went through, that you're going through, Somebody is watching it. My grandma, my grandpa, they didn't have nothing. And I talk about them a lot of times because in the world and the day that we live in, we could never live like they lived. They had one light in the whole house. They hung down on an old electrical cord, had a sewing thread that you pulled to turn it on. No bathroom, had an outhouse. No hot water heater, had running water, no hot water. Grandma and Grandpa took a bath twice a week. And it was in an old cow trough, one of them big old metal ones that you see out in the pasture. They took it in there in the living room. Had a couch that it had more duct tape on it than it did anything else because they'd had it for so long. You sat down on it, you didn't feel no cushion. All you felt was springs. Had one bed, one rocking chair, no TV. There at the end, they did get a telephone. But you know what? There'd been a lot of days that I'd stand out there and watch my grandpa. He walked with his hands behind his back. And I'd watch him walk around. I didn't have much land, just maybe a half acre, three quarters of an acre. And he'd walk the outside of the perimeters, and boy, I'd see him raise his hands up. He'd walk and have his hands up, then he'd put them down. Then he'd get over to something else, boy, he'd raise them up again. I was just young. I didn't know nothing about what was going on. Finally, Grandma would come out there, and I said, Grandma, what in the world is Papa doing? She looked out there, and he said, he's walking around thanking the Lord for what he's giving him. And I honestly, within myself, I thought right then, you ain't got much. You got a couch that's got more tape on it than anything. We ain't got no bathroom, have to go outside to use it. And I thought fleshly within myself, you ain't got much. And boy, what I didn't know. That when God saved me, I realized my mom and papa was dead and gone. But when God saved me, I realized that they had it all. It wasn't the material things that he was thanking him for. It was that God had done for him, what he was thanking him for. And you know what? There's been many a time here I was in between Papa and Mama over at the couch and on their knees, and Grandma have her hand on my back and Papa have his hands on my shoulder. Boy, Papa would go to praying, and he sounded like one of them old Baptist preachers. And boy, he'd get to a place where he'd reach up and grab a hold of God's hand. I always knew it when he reached up and grabbed a hold of it, because Grandma, boy, she'd take out handkerchiefs and she'd go to shouting. Right there in that old living room.
Yeah, I saw it right there.
You know what? I heard my name called so many times right there on that old couch than I've ever heard it called before. And I was asking God to save me. Give him understanding when it gets to the point of age accountability. And God, that you'll just use him in a mighty way. I didn't understand what was going on, but the Bible says raise up in a child in the way that it should go, and he'd never depart from it. I might have got out into the world, but you know what? I never will forget what I heard and what I seen through my mama and my papa. So I say this morning. Are you ready to take back that the devil's trying to take away from you? Because it might be that somebody is watching you in your life. You don't ever know when you are blessing. Your testimony is a blessing. Your life is a blessing to somebody. So that's why it's important that we don't never give place to the devil. So are you ready to take it back today? So how about if we rise to our feet? How about it this morning? How about it?